Do a little chazara, okay? Because some of us have been learning, some of us were learning before the break, and some of us are joining us now. So we learned the first four prakim. So let's try to get on the same page, a little bit. If anyone wants to catch up, the shiurim are recorded and online, so you can catch up in that way. But the Shaar Yichud VeEmuna, the Baal HaTanya introduces it by saying that he wants to explain a little bit about the relationship between Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shavod Malchuso LeOlam VaEd. Which is very interesting because for those of us who've been learning the first value about that yet, we have yet to see that in a revealed way. So the first parak began with the Baal HaTanya raising the question. V'yadata hayom, the pasuk says V'yadata hayom v'shevosa el avavecha. You should take it to heart that Hashem is the God above, and Hashem is the God below, and ein od, there's no other God. So Baal HaTanya said, I have to work so hard to take that to heart. Meaning it's a simple belief of Jews that there's one God. So why do I have Yadatayom Vashevo? Take it to heart, be careful to realize, to internalize that there's only one God. It must be telling us something more. So the Baal HaTanya explained, really based on the Baal Shem Tov and really based on the Medrash, that when we talk about one God, we're not just talking about the fact that there's one God as opposed to two gods. We're talking about Ein Od, how there's nothing, Al Pi Chasidus, there's really Ein Od Mavado, means there's nothing other than Hashem. Which obviously leads to many questions. For example, so what am I, right? Who are we as human beings? Right? What is this Gemara Pesachim? If Ein Od Mavado, if there's nothing other than Hashem, what is this trusty pen that I use to take my notes with, to write in my Svarim? So what are all the things of this world? And the Baal HaTanya explained that essentially HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly creating the world through the letters of creation. Which means that if you go back to the beginning of the Chumash, and you read the beginning of creation, Hashem says, Vayomer, let there be this, Vayomer, let there be that. The 10 utterances, the 10 expressions of speech that we find at the beginning of the Torah become the life force which gives energy to everything. Now again, if you open up the beginning of the Torah, you're not going to see, Vayomer Hashem, let there be Ami Bloom. So then you're saying, well, where's Ami Bloom, right? To say it in the language of the Gemara, Ami Bloom min HaTorah minayin, right? Like where do you find Ami Bloom? Where's there an Ami Bloom in the Torah? And the answer is, as the Baal HaTanya explained at the end of that parak, that the letters of creation can be woven together and could be presented in many different ways. They can be read forwards, they can be read backwards. There can be Rashi Tevos and Sofei Tevos. There can be Gematrias. There can be all sorts of exchanges of letters. And essentially, the letters from the beginning of time are still permeating and creating reality. Hashem is speaking them at every moment, using the pasuk that this whole idea is built off of, La'olam Hashem devarcha nitzav bashamayim, forever the word of God is standing in heavens, which means that at every moment Hashem is saying, let there be light, let there be a rakia, let there be a person who exists in the world. At every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing that into existence. And the Baal HaTanya went on in the second parak to explain exactly how that works, and how this is really our response to those who don't believe in Hashgacha Pratis. And that's how the second parak began. The second parak of the Shaar HaYichud VeEmuna began with the Baal HaTanya saying, for those people who believe that God created the world at some point and then withdrew his hands, like the person or the machine that was responsible for creating this Bic pen, right, is no longer has a relationship with it. So some think that Hashem runs the world in the same way. Hashem created the heavens and the earth, and then Hashem pulled back. Hashem allowed the world to just continue on its own. And the Baal HaTanya says, absolutely not. Because for something to exist in this world, and if we understand that creation came about, a yesh me'ayin, a something from nothing, that means that at every second, the world is in danger of returning to nothing. And that means that at every second, Hashem has to will the world into existence. At every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to continue to pump a life into reality to such a degree, as we explained in the past, that if Hashem were to stop speaking the world, if Hashem were to stop creating at every moment, not only would the world crumble and cease to exist, but retroactively the world will never have been. Everything will be erased, totally erased in such a way that we never had this conversation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to maintain, Yesh Me'ayin, Hashem has to constantly, at every second, constantly renew the world, constantly recreating the world, not just creating and then sustaining from a distance. But Hashem is actively, at every moment, pumping life into the world. Okay, so that was the second parak. So now the Baal Tanya says in the third parak, so how does this work exactly? How exactly does this work? And how does that allow us, and this is where the third and fourth parak get very deep, how do we understand the fact that there's an appearance that this pen exists independent of God? Why do I feel like I exist in some type of independent way? Right? Why do I perceive my physical self is really the question. And the Baal Tanya says, well, the truth is if you had eyes to see, if we could see more deeply, we wouldn't see our physical bodies. We wouldn't see this physical pen. We would be able to see through it and see nothing other than the letters of creation. We would see its spiritual inner essence, and we would not see the physical outer trappings. And if we could see that, then the physicality of it would be totally batil, it would be totally nullified. The Baal Tanya gives a mashal. He introduced us to a mashal of a ray of light emanating from the sun. Now, if you follow that ray of light, right, from that warm ray of light that's shining on your face or illuminating, you know, the book that you're holding in your hand while you're reading, shining through your window, you're sitting on the couch in your living room, and there's some light coming in through the window, and you start to look, where is that light coming from? You could follow it back to its source, to the sun. However, the ray of light, when it appears, when you interact with it on the earth, it seems much more accessible than that ray of light when it was still within the sun. In other words, if I asked you, go find that ray of light within the ball of the sun, within the globe of the sun, you couldn't find it there. When that ray of light was still within that awesome fire that is the sun, it has no independence. You can't recognize. You can't say, oh, I recognize that ray of light. It's only as it emerges from the sun and descends into this world that we're able to identify it as a specific ray of light. But that ray of light within the ball of the sun, within the globe of the sun, would be totally nullified. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, does the same thing with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this very delicate balance, and the key word, I think, in all the writings of the Tanya is perception. There's a perception that we exist outside of the ball of the sun, that we are that ray of light. My neshama is that ray of light in this world. Your neshama is that ray of light that is specifically creating a Jeremy and a Sam and a Jonah, right? But the truth is, if we were to follow it back to its shoresh, to its root, there wouldn't be these individual expressions. We wouldn't see it as independent of Hashem. Now, the question, the hard question at the end of the third parak was, so if in truth we exist within Hashem, if really Ein Od Mavado, and our eyes are just tricking us, so then how do we feel that we exist independent of Hashem? Right? Meaning, the ray of light, as we interact with it down below, is in fact far away from the sun. The sun's all the way out there, and the ray of light, right, is shining on my face down here. But if in truth we actually are swimming within godliness, if we're living within Hashem, so how can we be in the ball of the sun, so to speak, and still feel like an independent ray of light? You hear the question, Chavi? You hear the question? It's a very deep question. How could I at the same time, if in truth I'm really within HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now, if Ein Od Mavado, if there's nothing other than Hashem, so how can I even perceive that I'm my own thing? How can I introduce myself? Hi, I'm Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. Nice to meet you. What do you mean, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg? Ein Od Mavado. There's nothing other than God. How can I call this a pen? Ein Od Mavado. There's nothing other than Hashem. So how is it possible to strike this balance of, on the one hand, feeling independent, but also in truth, at the same time, being totally absorbed within Hashem? And that was the fourth parak that we learned before the break, the last parak that we had a chance to learn together, where the Baal Tanya explained the name Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the four-letter name of God, and the name Elohim. And he compared it to the sun and sort of this shield, this enclosure of the sun. In other words, the same way that you have a body that serves as like the garment to your soul, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all of that light, all of that energy, all of that godliness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals it from us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, at the same time, and this was the paradox that we learned about in the fourth parak, Hashem is able at the same time to reveal and conceal. Now understand why that's a big paradox, why that's a very, very great paradox. We spoke about the concept of Hashem Elohim, right? Hashem Hu HaElohim, like we say at the heights of Yom Kippur, at the end of the day. Or every time really we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's a contradiction of terms. Hashem is God's name of revelation, of chesed, right? Of manifesting himself. Elohim is a name of concealment, of constricting himself, of contracting himself. So how do they exist side by side? And the answer is, that's part of the wonders of creation. That Hashem, in creating the world, chose to reveal himself and to conceal himself at the same time. Before the world, there was nothing other than Hashem. Now Hashem set up this perception that we exist, even though, unlike the ray of light that's far from the sun, right, and that's why it seems to be independent, we're still within the ball of the sun. We're still with Hashem. Nothing changed. And that's the name of the game. That's the game that we're playing. The game is to go through life, being able to introduce yourself, hi, I'm Jack Katz, and at the same time, to be able to say, but I'm really just a ray of light of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that's never been detached for a second from Hashem. In my greatest moments, in my lowest moments, I'm always living within Hashem. I'm living within that dual reality. He compared it to a kli and the or, right? The tzimtzum, the contraction, the concealment, that which conceals that life force is the vessel. And the life force is the light within it. Again, you can call it body and soul. You can call it vessel containing ore. You can call it a garment that's covering over something. I'll give you just an interesting example that some of the Svarim bring in trying to explain this idea. It's a very fascinating idea. If I take my hand and I place it on top of my head, right? Or if I cover my nose. So if I were to ask you, right? Are you able to see my nose? When I cover my nose with my hand, you'll say, I can't see your nose. Your nose is covered. Now, the truth is, to our physical senses, my nose is covered. Spiritually, is my nose covered? Now, you'll say, well, what does that even mean? So I'll give you another example. Let me say it a little differently. Let's say I'm not wearing a yarmulke. Let's say I'm not wearing a yarmulke and I want to make a bracha. Can I use my hand as my yarmulke? What's the halacha? Anyone know the halacha? It's one of the opening halachos in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah discusses it. Back in Siman Beis, chapter 2 of the Shulchan Aruch, can you use your hand as your yarmulke? What do you say? Chever says no.
I don't believe so.
Chever says no. Why not? Because you can't cover something with itself. In other words, my hand is me. Right? I could use my hand to serve as a yarmulke for you. So if Sam's yarmulke fell off his head and he said, Moshe Tzvi, can you put your hand on my head for a second so I can make a bracha? That actually would work, al pi halacha. But Sam can't take his own hand and put it on top of his own head. Now, let's think about this very carefully. Go back to my mashal now of covering my nose. If I cover my nose with my hand, your physical senses, your physical eyes tell you Moshe Tzvi's nose is covered. But halacha, Torah tells you it's not really covered because you can't cover something with itself. So now, let's use that to try to understand this idea. We're living within Hashem right now, which means the truth, the halachic truth of our reality right now is that there is no independent me. There's no independent me, there's no independent yo, there's no independent anything. Ein od milvado, there's nothing other than Hashem. And yet my physical eyes tell me that there's a lot of things other than Hashem. There's a piece of salmon that I just ate for dinner. That wasn't, did I just eat God? There's a lot of other things than Hashem in this world. That's what our physical eyes tell us. But the name of the game is to put on our spiritual glasses, to change our perception, and to realize that Hashem is creating this dual reality, which is a complete contradiction. That on the one hand, yes, I am fully within Hashem, to the point that I don't even have an independent existence. And Hashem, in His kindness, has allowed me to what? To perceive myself as being my own thing. And I like being my own thing. Anyone here not like being their own thing? Aaron, you like being your own thing? You like being Aaron Bluestein, no? You like being Aaron Bluestein. Most days you like being yourself, right? You enjoy being who you are. You don't want to be someone else. You like being you. And the name of the game is to realize that as much as Hashem in His kindness wants me to feel good about being me, Hashem at the very same time wants me to realize, to have the humility to realize I don't really exist. So Chavis, let me ask you a question. I know these are very deep ideas. Let's make it very practical for a second. So why did Hashem do this? Why does Hashem want that Jack Katz should feel like his own thing? Why does Hashem want that? Yeah, Jonah, what do you say?
think it's the beauty of the relationship, right?
Okay.
It's not a relationship that's forced upon you, and so obvious and apparent. So we have that free choice to connect.
Okay, so it gives us a sense of right, by making Hashem a little bit, an other, right? So then we're able to connect. We could choose to connect. That's part of the free will that allows life to be purposeful and meaningful. The same thing is true in terms of mitzvos. If I feel that I'm just one with God, so then I feel like nothing I do actually matters because I don't actually exist. But if I have a perception of existing, if I feel that my choices actually matter, because in a this world, in a lower world sense, they do matter. And now we're starting to get a little bit towards going back to the very opening line of this whole section of the Sefer, which is that there's a Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata. There's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But then there's also Baruch Shem Kavod Machusoli Olam Ved, which we don't really know what that means yet, right? But there's a truth on a higher level where everything is one. And then there's again, I keep calling it a game. I don't mean to cheapen, God forbid, the entirety of existence, right? But there's sort of this game that we're playing where Hashem gives us, like you said, this ability to feel that we have free will, an ability to make choices, good ones or God forbid bad, that actually matter, right? That they actually mean something. Yeah, Madison, you wanted to say something. How do they call you? What do they call you? Benjamin? Benji, sure. Ben, what do you go by?
I've held all of them.
Okay.
From a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it adds a dimension to his expression. Meaning if there's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu before the Uvatsmo, then that's all there is. Once each of us, take a portion of God, we bring a different expression to
right.
that position.
Right, and that gives of the flavor and the color to life, right? And again, if we had the highest understanding, we wouldn't. It's almost like that pure light that's being refracted through a prism, right? So that pure beam of light is now all of a sudden takes on this multiplicity of colors, right? And that from a lower world physical senses perspective, it's much more beautiful that way, right? So Hashem wants us again as human beings. Hashem is creating sort of this this duality of the tzimtzum on the one hand, which are really the letters of creation, right? It's Hashem speaking to the world, and Hashem saying, "Let there be this and let there be that," as if they're all different things, right? Let there be an Aaron and let there be a Jonah, let there be a Sam and let there be a Jeremy, let there be a Moshe Tzvi, let there be a Daniel. There's a perception that there's all these different things, but at the root, when viewed from above, it's mamish all one thing. Okay, so that's a review of the first four prakim. So now, Chevra, tonight we learn the fifth parak, which is a short parak. It's very deep. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a lot about it in trying to explain what is the point of this parak. But we'll try to keep it simple. We'll try to see it as a continuation, a simple continuation of everything we just discussed. Okay? So Chevra, it's on the screen in front of you. If you have the Sefer, that's also good. Just try to get it to a good size so I can see you and see the Sefer at the same time. Okay. Good. Let's see. Okay. Good. So we're living this. We're living with this illusion, right? This perception. We have this feeling that I exist independently of Hashem, because again, if I felt too much one with Hashem, then it would be hard to actually live my life in a world of free will. Okay. So I'm a ray of light that again is living with this perception that it's outside of the ball of the sun. Even though the secret that the Baal HaTanya is whispering to us is Einod Movado, you still exist within the ball of the sun. You're just being tricked to think that you're your own thing. And you have to be careful not to become your own Avodah Zarah. What was the chet of Adam and Chava? It was to fall into that perception that, I'm also God. Adam says I could be God. Chava says I could also be God. Right? We could all be our own things. And we're not our own thing. We're really just we're just a ray of Hashem's light as being perceived as being an independent reality in this world, in the lower world. Okay? So let's see. Let's read the words inside again. It's a short parak. Let's see. V'ine al zeh amru rabosenu zichronam levracha. B'tchila ala b'machshava livro es ha'olam b'midas hadin. We know, Chazal tell us, we know this Maimer Chazal well, that Hashem's original plan, b'tchila, the original plan, the original machshava, the original intention of God, if we could say such a thing, was to create the world with Midas HaDin. To create the world with Hashem's attribute of Din, of judgment. Now, just pause and think for half a second. How do you create something with Midas HaDin? If we talk about, let's say, Chesed and Din, right? If we talk about them as archetypes, who are the personalities of Chesed and Din? Yeah, Benjamin, let's hear.
Avram and Yitzchak.
Yeah, Avram and Yitzchak, right? Avram as Chesed is what? What's his character? He's very expressive. He's out and about. His tent is open on all sides, right? Avram is very revealed. Avram is very inviting. Avram is welcoming people into his tent, and he loves Hachnasas Orachim, and he's traveling, and he's a person who's out there. Yitzchak, on the other hand, is very withdrawn. Yitzchak hardly speaks on the pages of the Torah. Yitzchak is physically tied down at the Akedah. Yitzchak never leaves Eretz Yisrael his whole life. He doesn't travel very much. Yitzchak is blind at the end of his life. He's very withdrawn from the world, in a very holy way, obviously. But Yitzchak is much more withdrawn from the world than Avram Avinu. So, Chevra, here's the question. Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas HaDin. Hashem wants to create the world with Tzimtzum, with hiding, with concealment. But the question is, how do you create something by pulling away? Right? How do I create? Let's say I want to write an essay, right? So I have to become expressive. If I want to share an idea, I have to express it. If I want to paint a painting, right? I have to what? I have to do. Not pull back. I have to find ways of expressing myself, expressing ideas through my language or through my music or through my artistic abilities, through my creations. The very nature of creation is to be what? Is to be expansive. So this Maamar Chazal, if you actually think about it from a more Hasidic Kabbalistic perspective, it's a very hard Maamar Chazal to understand. How did Hashem want to create by withdrawing? How do you create through strict justice, through Midas HaDin, by pulling back? And of course, the end of the Maamar Chazal, the end of the second line, is Ra She'ena Olam Miskayim. Hashem saw that it's not possible to create a world through Midas HaDin. So Hashem was Shiteif Bo Midas Rachamim. Hashem mixed in a little bit of mercy, a little bit of kindness. Now, again, when we were younger, or when we had a more simple understanding of this Maamar Chazal, we thought that Hashem wanted to make the world with very strict rules, and then Hashem saw that we would break the rules, so Hashem went easy on us. That's how we understand Hashem's din and his rachamim. Hashem wanted to make the game very tough, very demanding. If you speak Lashon Hara, God says, I take away your ability to speak. If you use your eyes in the wrong way, I take away your vision. That would be Midas HaDin, the letter of the law. Hashem decided that's too strict, no one's going to make it, and Hashem mixed in a little bit of kindness. That's the more simplistic way to learn this Maamar Chazal. But we're learning it more deeply tonight. We understand that Midas HaDin is this concept that we're talking about of God's concealment. So how do you create something by concealing? And then Hashem said, you know what, yeah, I realize that's not going to work, so Hashem mixed in some Midas HaRachamim. Why is concealment, why is hiding, why is Tzimtzum the starting point of creation? And how does din lead to rachamim? How does concealing lead to revealing? Process that question for a second. How does concealing lead to revealing? That's what the Baal HaTanya is explaining to us. What does that mean? Why is concealment, why is hiding the first step to, so to speak, creating? Why is concealment, why is Midas HaDin the starting point? What does Hashem need to do to allow us to pretend that we're 10 different people learning Tanya tonight? What does Hashem need to do? Hashem needs to trick us all into thinking that what? That we have an independent existence. Hashem needs to give us a perception that we are each our own independent ray of light. That's not true, says the Tanya. In the highest truth, there is no independent you and me. There's only God. Ein od milvado. So the first thing Hashem has to do is he has to, so to speak, use Midas HaDin to hide himself, to hide his essence a little bit, to conceal himself in such a way that when you're created, you think, hey, I'm my own thing. I exist. That's the only way the world can function. If Hashem doesn't create that perception, then we're still prior to creation. Then there's nothing other than God. Then there's no Jonah, and there's no Aaron, and there's no Sam, and there's no Ami. There's no existence without Hashem first, what? Tricking us. Creating a perception of independence. And the way Hashem does that is by hiding himself, by pulling back a little bit. So now, what is the Shitaf Bo Midas Rachamim? So what does the second part of the Maimar Chazal mean? What does the second half of the sentence mean? What does it mean that Hashem then, after hiding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed in some Rachamim, which in other words means some revealing? Why does Hashem need to mix in a little bit of revealing? What's the danger of too much hiding? No, tell me, Chava. What's the danger of too much hiding?
We forget about Hashem.
We forget about God, right? We actually think there is no God. That's a very dangerous reality, right? When I'm going online to whatever to read the news, and I think that this one or that one controls the world, right? And I'm watching athletes play basketball, and I'm thinking that, you know, these are the important people of the world. And then I'm trading my stocks, and I'm trying to make a couple bucks, and I'm trying to, you know, and then I'm deciding, what should I eat for dinner? Should I have this or should I have that? I get very lost in this physical reality. So there's times when Hashem has to kind of poke his head out and say, by the way, Einod Movado, don't lose yourself. Have the humility to realize that I'm kind enough to let you think you're your own thing, but don't get lost in it. Don't forget that I exist. When does Hashem do that? What is this Midas HaRachamim? Where is this revealing taking place? Look at the next line, third line. Dahainu, hisgalus elokus al yedei tzadikim v'osos umosim shebatorah. It's through the revelation of godliness by way of the tzadikim and through all of the signs and the miracles that we see throughout the Torah. In other words, it's those moments when it's so clear to us that there is a God. It's not those moments where the world is dark and the world is dreary and life is not working out in the way that you want it, and you have all sorts of questions of faith. It's those moments where you meet a tzaddik, a real tzaddik, and you look at this person and you say, there's a God in the world. There's a God in the world. When the great Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich, came to America in the 1920s, I believe, he came to New York City, and the Mayor Walker, the mayor of New York at the time, when he saw Rav Baruch Ber, I read this in a biography one time, he said about Rav Baruch Ber, this European Rosh Yeshiva, he said, Rabbi, when I look at you, I know that Darwin was wrong. I know that human beings don't come from monkeys. I could see that you are, just looking at the way you speak, the way you carry yourself, and they had very little in common. You know, Mayor Jimmy Walker and Rav Baruch Ber, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And yet he looked at him and he saw godliness on him. So I think that's what the Tanya is saying here. The hisgalus elokus al yedei tzadikim. When a person sees a true tzaddik, and you see that this person is just radiating godliness, it's clear to you. There's a borei olam, there's a creator to the world. Or says the Tanya, the osos and the mofsim shabbatara, the signs and the wonders of the Torah, the moments of what that we're in right now, these parshios, the ten makos, the kriyas yamsuf, the voice of God at Har Sinai, mass revelation. It's those moments that we have to cling to, as the Ramban very famously writes at the end of this week's Parsha, you got to hold on to those moments of Yetzias Mitzrayim and live with it every day of your life, because if you lose that, you might lose everything. You might forget the truth of Hashem's Einod Movado. So those are the breakthrough moments where a person says, there is a God. So again, it's a little bit counterintuitive what this Maimar Chazal is saying. Hashem has to hide himself to start to give us a perception that we have an independent reality, that I can feel like I'm a ray of light far away from the sun, even though I'm living literally within the sun. But then, because of that perception, because of that misleading perception, Hashem has to remind us that He actually runs the world. And therefore Hashem gives us those breakthrough moments, again, the revelations of the tzaddikim, the revelations of the miracles that we cling to make sure that we have an awareness of Hashem. Okay? But they coexist, and that's the paradox. Let's keep reading. Next little paragraph. V'nei alzeh amru b'zohar, about this the Zohar said, Dele'ela b'sitra d'kedusha ilah, is yamina v'is smala, dahainu chesed u'gvura. In the world above, Now, again, I don't want to get into things that I don't really understand. Maybe some of you do. But in Sefer Chassidus, it talks about, in Kabbalah, it talks about four worlds. It talks about four different worlds. There's a world called Atzilus, Aleph Tzadi Yud Lamed Vav Taf, like the word Eitzel. Eitzel means next to. The world of nearness, closest to God, so to speak. Closest to the essence of God, again, whatever that means. There's Atzilus. There's Bria, which is initial formation or creation. Yitzira, further creation. And then Asiya, the world of reality as we perceive it. Okay? Without getting lost in that for a second, when the Zohar here says that Le'ela, in the highest world, in Atzilus, let's say, in that world that's closest to the essence of God, Besitra de Kedusha Ila is Yamina ve'ismola. In that world above, there's still a notion of what? It's such a lofty world, but in that world, there's still even some perception of what? Of Yamin and Smol, of right and left. In other words, of Chesed and Gvura. Of Chesed, of revealing and concealing. What does that mean? Perush. Dishteyen hein midos elokus lamala misechel hanivram. Vahasagosam, the ihu vigarmohi chad ba'olam ha'atzilas. Says the Baal HaTanya. What does that mean? Even though Chesed and Gvura are opposites, one is revealing, one is concealing, Chesed is the right side, Gvura is the left side, but these two midos, in some way above, right, in a way that really transcends our ability to understand, they're able to have some type of unity. De'ihu v'garmaihu chad ba'olam ha'atzilus. What does that mean? That he and his attributes are one in the world of Atzilus. So what does that mean? Chesed and Gvura. Chesed and Gvura in that highest realm, somehow Chesed and Gvura are able to what? Are able to unify even though they're opposites. In our lower world, right is not left and left is not right. Right? But somehow in some higher realm, there's an ability for what? For Chesed and Gvura, in a way that is lemala misechal nevram, in a way that is transcends our intellect and our ability to understand. Somehow in that high, in that lofty world, right, even though there's still an aspect of right and left, what we would call opposites, but they're able to unify in a way that really, like we said, is a paradox. How can something reveal and conceal at the same time? Va'af hasagas Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom b'nevuaso lo haisa ba'olam ha'atzilus. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the deepest understanding possible through his nevuah, like we say at the end of the Torah, there will never be a prophet on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu ever again. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, his understanding did not reach such a high level. It was not in that realm called Atzilus, Ela al yedei, and again, this is a hard part, the main point, Ela al yedei hislab shuso ba'olam habriya. Moshe could only understand it in a lower form, in a world of, in a garment, hislab shuso, when it was clothed in a world called Bria. Again, the highest world is Atzilus, the next world down is Bria. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was trying to understand how opposites could somehow come together, he couldn't understand it on that highest level. Va'af gam zos, he only understood it in the world of Bria. And he also only understood it lo b'shtei midos elu chesed u'gvura. He couldn't understand it in its root of chesed and gvura, right and left, in the spheros. Ela al yedei hislab shusan b'midos shelamata mehen v'madrega. Moshe could only understand it in a world lower and in a level lower. What does that mean? Midas netzach hod yesod. Kamoshe kasav b'shar hanavuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to understand the paradox, right, in some type of lower level. The unity of these opposites, of right and left unifying. He couldn't understand that. He couldn't grasp. He couldn't transport himself. Even with his lofty nevuah, he couldn't enter into that world of Atzilus. But somehow in that supernal place, in that supernal realm, these opposites can coexist. And again, that trickles down into our world, right? It just becomes harder and harder as you get lower and lower. it becomes harder to see how those two things can coexist. It becomes more and more of a conflict for us. So I look at my physical body and I say, where's the neshama? I don't see a neshama. I see other people and I say, well, what do you mean we're all one thing? Ein od mavado. It becomes very hard to grasp all of that. So in this lower world, we're forced to live with that confusion. We're forced to live with that question. We're forced to not really understand, not be able to truly grasp how these opposites can be one. That's why we're forced. When we say Shema, we cover our eyes. I think we mentioned one of the earlier shirim. We cover our physical eyes and declare Shema Yisrael. I can't see it, but I hear it. Hear it means that I have received it as a tradition from my parents and grandparents. I've received as part of my Jewish training that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I can't see that with my eyes. I don't see how nature is also revealing godliness. You have it one way or the other. There's moments where God is operating within concealment, within nature, and there's moments where God is revealing himself. What do you mean they coexist? How does that work? I can't see that, so I'm forced to cover my eyes. So when will a person, and is there anyone, who actually, so to speak, understands, is able to really see above and beyond, even Moshe Rabbeinu, who grasped so much, who understood so much, when he asked to see God, he only saw God's back, so to speak. Moshe Rabbeinu still couldn't get a true glimpse of how these two opposites can coexist. Is there anyone who's going to be able to taste that in a true way? And the Baal HaTanya concludes this perek. And again, it's a hard perek, but we'll see how we continue to build off of it into some of the easier ideas up ahead. The Baal HaTanya ends the perek by saying, yes, there are people beyond this world who are able to what? Who are able to actually grasp how these opposites can attract, how these opposites can exist with unity. To not be forced to cover your eyes to say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, but to be able to actually see it and to live off of it in the clearest of way. Says the Tanya in the last paragraph, Rak shematan scharam shel tzadikim began Eden. The reward of the great tzadikim in Gan Eden. Right? What do we hope to experience when we cross over to the other side? What is the ultimate reward? You know what the ultimate reward is? The ultimate reward is being able to come back to that ball of the sun, so to speak. And again, when a tzaddik lives with these ideas of the Tanya in this world, he's able to, so to speak, to live in a world beyond this world. There's a Gemara, let me give an example. There's a Gemara in Brachos that uses the expression that it's really an expression of endearment and blessing. Olamecha tira b'chayecha. You should see your olam in your lifetime. What does that mean? You should see your olam in your lifetime. You should see your olam haba while you're still in this world. How does that work? What does that mean? Is that possible? Is such a thing possible? So for tzaddikim, maybe. Right? We're saying Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't fully grasp it. There's something we can only experience when we cross over to the other side. Right? But there's a notion, and that's what the point of the Sefer is, to be able to work on these ideas. To be able to engage the world and to feel that I'm swimming within godliness. To say Hashem wants me to feel that I have free will. Hashem wants me to choose a life that has certain independent expressions, but never, 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 God forbid, to lose myself in it. Never to become my own avodah zarah. Never to think that I'm my own thing. And therefore, the tzaddikim, look at the last paragraph. Shematan scharim shel tzaddikim b'gan Eden. You know what the ultimate reward for a tzaddik in Gan Eden is? Hu hasagas hispashtus hachayis va'or. It's the removal. It's the understanding when what hispashe means to what to strip away. It's to take the light out of the kli. It's to take the neshama out of the body. It's to take that life force out of its garments and to allow it to reveal itself, right? In a way that what? A way that a person can enjoy it, to bask in the ziv hashchina, as it's sometimes called in the Svarim HaKadoshim. To just be able to absorb the or directly. Again, in this world, if Hashem were to turn up the ore, if Hashem were to take, so to speak, the light out of its encasing, so we'd be burnt to a crisp. We wouldn't exist. And we want to exist. Hashem in His kindness wants us to exist. But eventually we cross over to the other side and we're able to what? We're able to what? To grasp and to experience the light itself. Hanimshach mishtei midos eilu chesed ugvura. To be able to understand, not to see them as right and left, as opposites, that revealing and concealing are constantly grappling with each other. but to be able to experience them simultaneously in a way that only in a world beyond this world could possibly make sense. Vahu mazon nishamos hatzadikim. And that becomes the food that sustains the soul. Again, these are very deep ideas, but that is the mazon, that is the sustenance of the neshama of the tzaddik. She'osku b'torah l'shma b'olam haza. The reward for living a life of Torah and mitzvos. What's the prize that you get for living in this world and trying to see beyond the perception? Trying to see beyond the concealment. What's the reward? You know what the reward is? You get to see what you wanted to see all along. I think I mentioned in maybe the first shiur that I heard that when the Baal HaTanya himself, the Heiliger Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that at the very, very end of his life, he was lying in the moments before he passed away from this world. And he asked whoever was with him, one of the members of the family, "What do you see?" He pointed. He said, "What do you see?" He pointed to the roof. I think it was like a wooden beam that was running across the roof. That's how I heard the story. And he said to him, "What do you see?" So he said, "I see a wooden beam. I see a support beam holding up the roof." The Baal HaTanya, we're talking about the tzaddik who wrote this, at the end of his life, as he's about to cross over, he said, I don't see a wooden beam anymore. All I see are letters. All I see are letters." He was seeing the inner essence. Yeah, Jonah, what do you want to say?
That beautiful Maisa, I heard the same story, but by the Friedrich Rebbe, not when he was dying, just when he was a young man.
He said he saw. What did he say? What was the Lashon? How did he say it? He saw what?
He was like an Ashti or something. Some secular people came by him and say, "What do you see?" He points to a beam. He's like, "It's not a beam. No, look, it's really not a beam. Right. It's letters."
Right. So I think I know what you're talking about. I think the Friedricher said that. I don't know if he said that I'm seeing it as letters. Right. I think he was teaching them the concept of it being letters. I don't know that he was saying the Baal HaTanya at the end of his life. The way I understood this story is that he was mamish saying, "My physical eyes are no longer seeing physicality. My physical eyes, the eyes of the tzaddik at the end of his life, were able to see beyond the curtain, so to speak, to be able to see the true spiritual essence of physical reality." I think that's different than, I think that story that you're sharing is the Friedrich Rebbe explaining that, you know, making this point, teaching this lesson, right? Don't be fooled to say that that's a, I think I heard it was like a flower vase, right? Don't say it's this when really it's that. But it's one thing to know it as an idea, which is what we're learning. That's the point of what we're learning here. We're learning it as an idea. It's another thing to be able to say I can physically see it with my eyes. So it could be the difference, but it could be I'm messing up the Maisa as well. Okay? So this sustenance of the souls of tzaddikim, when they cross over into Gan Eden, is being able to truly understand the answer, so to speak. The answer to the paradox, which no mind, even Moshe Rabbeinu, could not grasp in this world. Right? When you take, so to speak, when you take that concealment and you strip it away and you stretch it out, you open it up, you reveal it, it becomes, again, these are very powerful images, but hard to know even what we're talking about. They become that rakia. They become the firmament. They become the sky above the heads of the tzaddikim in Gan Eden, over the neshamos in Gan Eden. And once it's, so to speak, the secret has been unraveled, that's what we call Raza d'Oraisa, the secrets of the Torah, which again, when we're learning deep Torah, we're trying to taste it, right? That's the beauty of Chassidus. We're saying, I'm not just going to say, "Oh, whatever, I'll figure it out when I get to the other side." I want to taste it in this world. Uvo sod chaf beis osios haTorah, Hanasuna Mishte Midos Elo. And it's in that rakia that is contained these 22 letters of the Torah, which again are somehow rooted in these two Midos, this Chesed and Gvura, this concealment and this revelation. Kidichsiv Miyamino Eish Das Lamo. Yamin, the right side, is Chesed. Eish, fire, usually represents Gvura. Mimino Eish Das Lamo. The Torah is telling us at the end of the Torah that there's a certain place where what? Where the right side and the left side are all one. Where Hashem Hu Elokim, which is again something we can only dream of saying in this world, But to be able to see that and to understand that, to experience it, is the reward of tzaddikim in the next world. Again, just a very, very bright and illuminated image. It's from that rakia, which is made up of these secrets of the Torah unraveled, that it drips down. It's notef tal. It drips down dew as the food, as the sustenance of those neshamos. In other words, that or pnimi that's just permeating, right? And satiating the tzaddikim, the neshamos of the tzaddikim. That's the hope and desire of every Jew. Dahainu yediya sod chaf beis osios haTorah. To actually come to an understanding of the secret of the 22 letters of the Torah. And again, chaver, anytime you learn, you read a pasuk in Chumash, and then you learn a Sfas Emes, where the Sfas Emes reveals something more, you're tasting it. You're tasting it. You read a Gemara, it tells an interesting story in a Agarata, and then you read the Vilna Gaon's deep Pnimiyas HaTorah explanation of it, you're tasting that inner light. But again, as much as we want to taste it in this world, it's only a glimpse of what it really is in the world beyond. Ki rakia hazehu sod hadas, because that rakia, from which this dew of the 22 letters is dripping down upon the neshamos of the tzaddikim, that is the secret of das, of true connection, of true understanding, of true attachment. Va'torah hi mazon ha-neshamos b'gan Eden. The Torah is the food of Gan Eden. Va'mitzos hein levushim. And the mitzos serve as the garments. K'muvuar, kolzeh, and all of this is explained in the Zohar and Parshas Vayakol, as well as in the Eitz Chaim. But these two midos of chesed and gvura, this paradox, right? This paradox, which cannot be understood, that even the souls on the level of Atzilus are still seeing them as a right and a left that are unifying. But there's something beyond that we hope to get to one day where it's all one. And again, we're practicing that in this world. These are very, very deep Kabbalistic ideas. But the Baal Tani did not write this in order for us to say, you know, what did you learn in Shaar Yichuv Amunah? I have no idea. That's not true. That's not the punchline. The punchline is, I go about my entire day looking at the world differently. I try to see Elokus in everything. I remind myself that my physical eyes are deceiving me. And I know it's hard in a world of such utter concealment to try to cling to those moments of revelation, to be able to cling to those moments of Hisgalus Elokus. But again, that's mamish this week's Parsha. Look at the Ramban at the very end of Parshas Bo, the famous words of the Ramban. Why are we so obsessed with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because I have to remember how clear it was to me, Dam, Tzordeya, Kinim, Arov, when I saw those miracles, when I heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai, I have to hold on to that. It's hard in this world, the physicality, to be able to really feel that, to really live that. But that's the paradox we're fighting to live. And again, it's Hashem's kindness that He lets us play this game. Because in truth, we don't really exist. But Hashem doesn't want us to obsess over that. Hashem says, I want you to feel like a ray of light. I want you to feel like an empowered ray of light, drawing its energy from the ball of the sun, from the heat of the sun, from the fire of the sun. And I want you to live a life of purpose and meaning. At the same time, coupled with the humility that there really is no independent you. Okay, so that's the message of the fifth parak. Again, it's a hard parak. The ideas themselves are very, very deep and beyond us. But the takeaway, again, the theme that we continue to develop is being able to live in a natural world, in a physical world, and at the same time to never be fooled by it, not to be tricked by it. Again, I always come back to the words of the Sfas Emes. Lo sasur acher levavchem v'acherei neichem. Don't be tricked by your eyes. Your eyes are telling you something which is simply not true. There's ein od milvado kipshuto. That's what the Baal HaTanya wants us to know. After creation, there's still nothing other than God. The only thing that changed is the way that we imagine things to be, the way our physical eyes present things to us. Okay? Okay, Chava, let's stop here for tonight. Thank you for being here. I'm sure there are some questions and comments, but I'm sorry, I have to run to another shir, so I feel badly running. But if anyone wants to be in touch, please get in touch. Okay, I'm happy to talk it out further offline or online. And Mirat Hashem, we'll continue next week. Okay?